Romans 2 and verse 11.
I got that bar up there, and then I forgot to put the verse,
chapter and verse number down there. Anybody read the first part of that? Anybody here read that? Ooh, thank you, brother. What is that, Rebecca? Gar. All right. Eston. Prosa polepsia. All right. Para. Prosopolenepsia. You have to remember that C there. That's a P-C, like that. P-C, like Phillips, almost. P-C, like a PSI. Prosopolenepsia. Para. Tooth you. All right. 2 and verse 1. The cross references to this in other places in the Bible are Deuteronomy 10 and 17, Acts 10, 34, Colossians 3, 25, and James 2 and verse 9. Okay? For not is. We all start out with a conjunction, don't we? That little conjunction particle there, gar. For not, an adverb of negation, who is. You write, if you want to write down page 294 for that, you can. That's where you look it up. For not is, this word comes from prosopon and lambano. Prosopon and lambano. Prosopolepsia. It means to have partiality. It's not in the Septuagint, by the way. It's kind of a rare word. Matter of fact, it's so rare that Paul invented it. That's how rare it is, okay? It's so rare that Paul invented this word. It was not used anyplace else. All right. It means face receiver. It means if I like the looks of you, then I will be partial to you, okay? I'll be partial to you if I like the looks of you. All right. For not is a face chooser. Beside the God. Not is a face chooser beside the God. Can you read that one for me, Rebecca?
For God shows no partiality, undue favor or unfairness. With him one man is not different from another.
All right. Prosopolepsia. He is not a face pleaser. He doesn't go toward the faces. In other words, there is no partiality with God. He chooses. He looks upon the heart and not the face. All right, the heart, not the face. 2 and verse 12 now. The cross reference 2 and verse 12 are 1 Corinthians 9:21 and Acts 2:23. Hosoi. Hosoi. Okay, then gar. Onomos. Hamarton. Onomos. Onomos. Kai. Apollonte. Kai. Hosoi. In nomo, hamarton, dia, nomu, kritheisonte. All right. For all who without law, actually lawless, outlaw, without the intervention of the law, sinned. That word sin there means contrary to the law. And the word, I know that so many people said hamartia means to miss the mark. Now, hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. There's a Hebrew word, tafah, that means to miss the mark. And when Thayer, how many of you ever heard of Thayer? When Thayer wrote his lexicon, the Greek-English lexicon that Thayer wrote, he looked at the Hebrew and said, aha, this means to miss the mark. So in Greek, this means to miss the mark. But it does not mean to miss the mark. This means to go out of the way. It comes from amareo, okay, which means to flow out beside something. One time, a long time ago, right down here where Rosedale crosses the Kern River, there was such a great big log jam down there that the river ran over the side of it, and I believe for 2 years they cut wood out of that log jam, and the river wiped out everything on both sides of that area right down there, just wiped out everything. Just floods. That's hamartia. It means it's like a conduit or a canal or a river. When it overflows its banks, it causes destruction. Peripatio and parapipto, all these words in Greek, it means to stumble or go out of the pathway, is what it means. The Indians have a saying. It says that an Indian's supposed to be on the red road. On the red road. If he's holding to his religion, if he is a moral man, if he is honest in all of his ways, one thing about the Indians they could not stand is dishonesty. For a man lied to you, if you lied to an Indian, he never trusted you again because he thought you were an atheist. If a man would lie, then he didn't believe in God. As far as they were concerned, if you were a liar, you were an atheist. You were an immoral, terrible type of person. When the Indian told you something, when he made a contract with you in the early part of this country, when they came over here, if he made a contract, his descendants for 1,000 generations would keep that contract, that peace treaty, so to speak. They would do that. That's what they had done for the whole history of their whole existence. When the Anglo-Saxons came here and they broke those contracts, they couldn't believe. They thought they were some kind of animals walking around on two legs, some kind of new animal, because surely they didn't believe in God. Yeah. Forked tongue, spoken tongue. Have you ever heard of the old term Indian giver? Now, I wasn't talking about Indians, by the way. It was talking about the Indians. They would say, my family, you know, a lot of my family came out of North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, all of those areas, and then Kansas and North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and all through that area. But they dumped all the Indians in Indian territory. Because they thought it wasn't worth anything. Surely, we wouldn't want anything there. Besides that, there's a bunch of wild Indians there. We'll just put these Indians in when they want wild Indians. Maybe they'll kill each other. Yeah. Well, they got in there, and then they struck oil, and they found out the Indians made that place bloom like a garden. So they wanted it. They wanted it. Well, these were all sinned. Sinned. To them, that was a horrible sin. The Bible talks about different kinds of sins. Different kinds of sins in it. But every one of them is going out of the pathway. Out of the pathway. And that's what this word means, to go aside. First person singular or third person plural. For all who without the law, they have sinned, is third person plural. Second aorist, indicative active. It can go first person singular or third person plural, either way. The endings and the word is made up that way. It comes from harmatano, which comes from a and mario. Okay? Out of the way. Yes, Brother Bill.
Yeah, now this is just me, how my mind works.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be said for as many as have sinned without law? Can you insert knowledge in there? Would that fit for as many as have sinned without knowledge, would also perish without knowledge?
Without the knowledge of the law. Yeah, but we're going to get on to that in just a little bit. We're going to talk about that. For all without the law, they have sinned without law. Also, they shall perish. Third person plural, future, indicative, middle. They shall perish for themselves. All right, without the law. And all who in the law, they have sinned. Third person plural, secondary, indicative, active. They have sinned. Here's the word. They've gone out of the pathway. All right? By the agency of the law shall be judged. All right. Now, the Jew will be judged first and foremost, won't they? Hmm? They'll be judged foremost and first because they were the first ones to receive the administration of God's kingdom. That's what, therefore, they are. Look at all those years. Just for the last 2,000 years, have the Gentiles had the administration of the kingdom in their hand, and guess what's happened, going to happen to the Gentiles? That's the whole book of it. This is the reason why it's coming. On the Jews to bring them back to God, on the Gentiles because of what they've done with God. All right? All the governments. For 2,000 years, Baptists fought for separation of church and state. And now we see politics and religion getting so mixed up. So mixed up. It's becoming one, isn't it? We know what happened in 325 A.D. when Constantine married the church to state. And for hundreds and hundreds and over 1,000 years, the Catholic Church controlled the world and strangled the whole world. Look what they did. It was immorality. They came over here to this country. They enslaved all the inhabitants here on the west coast out here. It was genocide. Total genocide. If you weren't in a Catholic mission, you were a dead man. In South America, you can't get married down there in South America unless you're married by the Catholic Church. They still have control. You're not recognized. It's a man, and a woman. It's not man and wife. It's a man and woman if you're not married according to the Catholic Church. The church became an outlaw. And in the end, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the great whore of Babylon. That's church religion, people. That's the end of it. You know who's building the temple for the Antichrist today? You know who the greatest contributors are for the temple of the Antichrist today? Evangelical churches are supporting Israel today and building that temple for the Antichrist to come. They're working. They've got all of the gold, the vessels and everything done. People are making thousands of contributions to it out of evangelical churches. And who's going to end up with it? It's going to be in the hands of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to take place right here. You know, that's where he's going to stick his little ugly head up. Except he'll probably be real handsome, according to the world. Right here in the middle is where Israel is going to figure out that he's finally not their Messiah. Lawless. Israel is definitely responsible. God will judge them first. The whole purpose of the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God. And then the secondary hammer there of God's wrath is on the Gentiles. 2 and verse 13. Ugar hoi. Akraote. Nomu. Dekaioi. Para. Tu thiu. All hoi. Poiete, nomu, dikaio theisonte. Oh, you guys are getting really good. You know that? You are good. You don't even need me here to read this anymore. For not the ones hearers, listeners. That's where we get our word acoustic from, is right out of this word. All right? For not the ones listeners of law. All right? Look at that. For the ones law just besides the God, but strong adversity conjunction, but the ones doers of the law, they shall be justified or declared righteous. Now, Rebecca, can you read 12 and 13 for me, please? 12 and 13. We're going to like look at some of this.
All who have sinned without the law will also perish without regard to the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged and condemned by the law. For it is not merely hearing the law read that makes one righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified.
That's good. James 1:22 through 25, Matthew 7:21 through 24, John 13 and verse 17. Now, A.T. Robertson said, the law was read in the synagogues, but all the real virtue was not in listening to the law in the synagogues or in churches today. But when you walk out the door, what you practice in everyday life, that is the real believer, the one that practices those things. The one that practices James 1, 22 through 25. All right, 2:14. We're clipping along here pretty good, by the way. Now, Romans, the first chapter, said that there are two groups of people in the world today. Those are the people that don't have the law of Moses and those that do have it. And the ones that don't have the law of Moses have the law of Moses, or actually God's law, written in their hearts, in their minds. It's what you call a conscience. A conscience. This is what you asked a few minutes ago, Bill. They have a conscience. And you know what? Even though the Jews have a law, even though the churches today have a law, if people don't practice that, they're not believers. Do you know that? If they don't practice it, they're not believers. Now, how about those heathens out there without the law, them heathens? If they're doing the law, if they're practicing what they believe, according to what light they have received, God will judge them according to that light. 2:14. Hotan gar. Hotan gar ethne. Ta me nomon. Ekonta fise. Ta tu nomu. Poiusen, hutoi, nomon, mei, ekontes, iatois, eisen, nomos. Now this is an obvious reply to the Jewish critics of Paul. Okay? The Jewish critics are saying, we have the law. We are God's people. We are God's chosen people. God's chosen people. You ever tried to witness to a Muslim, an Arab? You know one of the greatest objections they have? That God chose those Jews over them. But you know something? What those Jews today have to answer to God too, because they rejected the Messiah. Now, he's going to put them back in place over here for 1,000 years. But he's going to get them beat up real good, and guess who he's going to use to beat them up? Them Muslims. And all the rest of the Antichrist, their own Antichrist. Whenever, in what case of an occasion, nations, the not law, the ones outside of the law having, by nature, this is by your conscience, Brother Bill, by nature. Just because an old word for begin, just because they have begotten, they have a conscience. Everybody in this world has a conscience. Okay? We have consciences. God gives every man a conscience. I said a while ago, when the Indians that were over here in this land, when they came along, the Anglo-Saxons, when they came along this place, carrying Bibles. Carrying Bibles. And boy, they were glad to hear about God in a more perfect way. But when they saw these people not practicing what that book said, these people are atheists. They got a book, all right, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. Because they're not practicing what they say they believe. Romans 2:15 and 1:19. These are cross-references to this. Acts 10:35. For whenever the nations are not the law having by nature, just because they were born, the things of the law they may do, they have a conscience. And they practice morality. These ones, little demonstrative pronoun, law not having, to themselves are a law. The very conscience that you have in you condemns you. I don't care whether you go down to the darkest jungle of South Africa or wherever in South America, down the Amazon or wherever you want to go down there, those people committing adultery is wrong. And stealing is wrong. lying is wrong. And that's what the Bible teaches. And how do you think it got on their hearts? They know. I mean, they may be far yonder. As I was teaching the book of Genesis, the furthest ones away from the Fertile Crescent were the most primitive. But still, they know about God. They know about Him because God wrote it in their hearts. Now, we're going to go on talk about this conscience. 2 and verse 15. Hotenes, endek nin he, to ergon, tu nomu, gopton, en tes cardios, autu, simar tiruses. Auton, tes, sine, deisios, kai, metaxu, alelon, ton, ligosmon. And then ka, terg, o, runton, a, gar, apologumenon. Now let's look at this. This kind of makes a summation of everything. Rebecca, you want to read number 14 for me, please? From the Amplified Bible, by the way.
When Gentiles who have not the divine law do instinctively what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, since they do not have the law.
All right, so God's going to hold them accountable too, isn't He? All right. Every now and then there's an outlaw even among those people. Do you know that? Among the Indians, when they had somebody being real bad, they did one or two things. If they had a bad girl in the tribe, they had their daddy cut her throat. That's the way it is. If they was a bad guy, they had the daddy cut his throat. You were responsible for your children. You know that? That's what they said. You're responsible for your children. You raised them, you cut them away. You do it. They're your child. If you cut your own child's throat, kill them, put them out of the way, you have nobody else to blame but whom? Yourself. First of all, you were the executioner. You're supposed to raise them, you didn't raise them right. Or, one other option was they were kicked out of the tribe. Left by themselves. Sometimes, what? That was a death sentence too, but now there was some outlaws that were out there. Some of these outlaw tribes would get out there and they would do all kinds of weird stuff. You know, they were outlaws. They were bad people. And one from a Cheyenne, one from a Sioux, one from a Blackfoot or whatever, you know, they'd all get together out there and pretty soon they would be outlaws going and preying on other people. So sooner or later, this is about the only Indian wars there were, was from the outlaws. How many of you knew that? Well, they went out there, and sometimes the tribes, they would go and say, well, now, all you Sundance people, we got a problem out here. We got some of our outlaw relatives out there. We got to go take care of them. So they would go and attack them and try to wipe them out to the last man because they weren't fit for the world, not for God's world. All right. All right. Who display or show manifest display the work of the law, carved, engraved in the hearts of them. The word that's carved in their hearts. The word cardia there, we got our word cardiac and everything. You know, all medical terms are from Greek. All legal terms are from Latin. I've driven that to you. We're going to learn this, okay? You're going to get that. The hearts of them, witnessing with them, accusing and excusing them. This is what we call a genitive absolute by the ear. Witnessing with them of the co-knowledge by the side of the original consciences. Okay, Romans the first chapter again. And between one another of the thoughts. Look at that word, logismon. Of the thoughts. All right, what do you think? Between your thinking, you're thinking within yourself. Condemning or even excusing. Condemning, that means down judge. All right? Katergorio. That means look down upon. looking down upon, you're judging. When you look down upon somebody, you judge them, don't you? The judge always sets up higher than the court, doesn't he? You know how many judges are going to get to axe one of these days? Because God, you know, the 14, 15 trucks down, you all them judges down there, God is going to work them over for the judgments that they have made. Because a lot of them, justice was bought. That's the way it is. It's bought. I don't care what they do right now. One of these days they're going to answer for it. Every one of those things, every time they've made a mistake, every time they've intentionally made a mistake, they will answer for it. And then Apollo Goumenon, all right? Accusing, present participle, active genitive, plural masculine. I said this is genitive absolute. And then we have present participle middle, genitive, plural masculine down here, excusing and excusing themselves. They excuse and accuse. Excuse and accuse. That word apologenō, this is where we get our word apologetics from. This is where we get our word apologize from. This is where we get our word debate from. All right? A debate is an apology. Apologetics. When you study apologetics, it's studying giving an answer back. That's what it literally means. 216 now. And hey. Homera. Krine. Kothios. Ta krypta. Tone, anthropon, kata, to, euangelion, mu, via, Jesus Christu. All right. In which they, judges, critics to God, the crypte, cryptic, cryptic. You ever heard of cryptic writings? Cryptic this, cryptic that? Oh, crypt. That's something hid. They used to put bodies in crypts. They used to hide dead bodies in crypts. All right, cryptic. The hidden of the men according to the gospel of me by the agency of Jesus Christ. My wife studies at home sometimes. And she's been studying. I did, you know, classes on the tabernacle. How many of you listened to me on the classes of the tabernacle? And I taught about the tabernacle, that thing right here. And the colors mean things and everything else. White means what? Righteousness, justice, white. In the book of Revelation it says, wear white robes. Now just think about this now for just a little bit. Just think about it. White robes. What would be the opposite of white?
Black.
My priest will wear white robes. What color of robes do the priests of the Catholic Church wear? Black. Just think about that for a little while. What color robes do witches usually wear?
Black.
Black stands for what in the Bible?
Darkness.
Death. Evil. Sin. But what do we have in the world today? People in love with the color black. Just think about that for a while. People in love with the color black. Something wrong someplace. Used to, in the Bible days, everybody wanted to wear purple. Everybody wanted purple. Why did they want purple? Royalty. And if you look over here in this, you'll see there's purple in there. Purple stands for royalty. All right? Red. Red. Blood. All right, Grimson, the blood of Jesus Christ. The scarlet thread that ran through the Bible, there was a scarlet thread through here. Do you know the American Indian, when they wove the Navajos and everything, when they wove anything that American Indian made had a spirit line in it that attributed to God. Did you know it? I wrote a story one time. I wrote a couple of books on American Indian culture. But the Navajo rugs, when you really found a real Navajo rug, there was one white thread or gray thread running through the whole thing. That was a spirit line. And they would intentionally make mistakes on everything that they did. You know why? Why would they make a mistake on a perfectly beautiful piece? A pottery? Beadwork? Why did they do it? Marilyn, do you remember why?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Because God's the only perfect person, and a human.
Only God can make things perfect. So they intentionally, everything that they made had a flaw in it, because it's made by human hands. Okay? Human hands. Conscience. Now you tell me conscience doesn't work. You tell me that God didn't write all the way from Adam, all the way this way, conscience in people's hearts. To know right and wrong. We all came from Adam, people. We all had the same information at one time.
God made two perfect people. The rest of us are just descendants.
Yeah.
Imperfection.
Yeah. 2:16. In which day judges God the hidden of the man, the cryptic things of mankind, according to the gospel of me, by the agency of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to be the judge. You know why Jesus is going to be the judge? Because he walked around in human shoes. He walked around in human shoes. Old Indians, I bring a lot of Indian stuff in. It's the Indians used to say, before you condemn a man, walk a mile in his moccasins. Jesus is going to be the judge because he walked in human flesh. Rebecca, 2:15, did you read 15? Oh, read 15 and 16 for us, please.
They show that the essential requirements of the law are written in their hearts and are operating there.
Operating, energizing there all the time.
With which their conscience, sense of right and wrong, also bears witness in their moral decisions. Their arguments of reason, their condemning or approving thoughts, will accuse or perhaps defend and excuse them. On that day when, as my gospel proclaims, God by Jesus Christ will judge men in regard to the things which they conceal, their hidden thoughts.
All right, there we have it. Romans 14 and 10, 16, 25, Romans 3 and 6, 1 Timothy 1 and 11, 2 Timothy 2 and 8, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. On down to about verse 5. That's the gospel delineated out there, explained. Galatians 1 and verse 11, 1:6-8, or 1:6-9. Acts 10:42 and 17:31. These are all cross references. Bill, is this answering your question, isn't it?
Yep.
Paul's doing it. Paul's answering that question. All right. Adac. Eodios. Eponomase. Kai. Eponapae. Nomu. Kai. Coxase. En Theo. Romans 2:23 and 9 and 4, Micah 3 and 11, John 5:45, Philippians 1 and 10, and Luke 1:4 and 1 Corinthians 14 and 9. These are cross references to this one. The Jews will be judged the most because they got the most light. For or moreover since you, a Jew. Paul's talking to these Jews now. Since you're a Jew, are named and rest upon law and brag in God. All right. First class conditional up there, condition determined as fulfilled. That's since. For since. It's not an if in Greek. It's since. It's an absolute statement of fact. Now what causes that is the indicative mode in that word eponomase. Alright, that's second person singular, present, indicative, passive. That indicative mode, that would be subjunctive, would be second or third class conditional. But here is first class conditional. Okay? Moreover, you, a Jew, are named upon name, alright, and rest upon, That word there, rest upon there, is only used one other time in the New Testament in Luke 10 and 6. It's used one time in the Doxy and one time in the Septuagint. That's a rare word. Okay? To rest upon for yourself, it means to lean upon, to refresh oneself, back upon anything here in with the locative case, by the way, or in the locative case. In the law. You're resting upon the law, and you're bragging that God gave it to you, that you were so wonderful that God chose you to be the recipients and the caretakers of God's work. We see that. Dakota, can you unplug that over? It's making too much racket. Interferes with the camera. Can you read that for me, Rebecca? 1, 2, and 17.
But if you bear the name of Jew and rely upon the law and pride yourself in God and your relationship to Him.
You're resting upon the law and your relationship to God. If you're a Jew today, boy, look out. You rejected your Messiah. You missed the boat, and the boat's coming back, but this time the boat's going to be on fire.
You ain't on the guest list.
No. Israel will never be in the place of preeminence like it once was. Israel could have been the God, could have been the bride. Do you know that? The bride is in close proximity, juxtaposition with the groom, which is God. Jesus, His bride, is not Israel. It is the church from the church age, because Israel rejected their bride, or their groom, that is. Israel rejected Him. 2:18. We're clipping right along here. Now, there's a lot of theology in this, but I think it's pretty rational what it is. Okay, so we're not going to chase it real deep. When we get to something, we'll look at it deeply. But right now, we're just traveling along. All right? Kai, genoskes, to, thalima, kai, dokimazes, ta, dia feronta, katakso menos, ek, tu, numo. And you understand and you know. We got our word knowledge right out of this word. It's gnosko or nosko. Noskes. Second person singular present, indicative active, from gnosko. The will, the thelemata, or thelema. What is the thelema? What does thelema mean? Remember the words from mind and will. Thelema means what? Thelema. You remember Brother Randall? Ephesians, the first chapter, we looked at that a lot. The spiritual activating force. The thelema. The will. And approve, test, as metal is tested and assayed. Second person singular, present indicative active, from dokimazo. The things excelling, being carried through. That means dia and fero. It comes from dia and fero. It means carried through. Present participle, active, accusative, plural, and neuter. Things carried through. And being legally instructed. Legally counseled. Nominative singular masculine. Present participle passive. Out of the law. All right. Philippians 1 and 10. Rebecca, can you read that one for me, please?
And no one understands his will and discerningly approves the better things and have a sense of what is vital, because you are instructed by the law.
All right, if you're instructed by law, you're going to answer the law. You've rested upon the law, you leaned upon the law, and guess what? The law is going to condemn you. 2:19 now, 2:19. I wrote up here, a guide of the blind. God chose the Jews to be a leader of the Gentile nations, but they got an F minus. an F. They failed. They failed the course. They failed the course, and God gave it to the Gentiles. Called out the Gentile church. Finally. And the Lord called out a Jewish church to begin with, didn't he? But it turned into a Gentile church in the age of the Gentiles, the church age. Pepoithos. Pepoithos. Te siaton hodegon. Ene. Toflon or tuflon. Phos. Ton. En skote. All right, let's look at this now. Philippians 1 and 10, and actually Jude, it talks about the sophon skotia, the deep darkness. The deep darkness. It talks about that in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1 and 2. And it says, Spirit God hovered over the deep darkness. The deep darkness. He hovered over, he mourned over, he suffered over the deep darkness. Having been persuaded, that's what the first one, having been persuaded, all right, both yourself, a guide, hodegon, a guide, one who leads the way down the road, the one with a flashlight in the night, the one with a flashlight in the night. I used to be a coon and a bear hunter and a lion hunter and a long, long years ago, that was so long ago. I'm not able to do anything anymore. My boys wanted me to go up in the mountains and just ride up there in the truck. I used to walk from the top of Greenhorn Mountain to the bottom of it. To Isabel or Glenville and walk back up in one night. In the dark. I spent more time in the mountains in the dark than I did in the daylight. You look out there at nighttime and the moon shines when it's not cloudy and everything, the moon shines. I was up there sometimes so bad, so thick. I was on the sawmill road one time, way down through there, and we ran a coon out there and treed the coon. We followed the dogs out there, and we were looking in that thing out there, and I had to get down and look in a stream. I knew the stream was running downhill, but I want to tell you what, it was so foggy, I couldn't see that table right there. We had flashlights, but they didn't do any good. All we saw was mist and fog. I had to get down and find out which way that stream. I had to spit in that thing to find out which way the thing was running. Holding that flashlight on the spit in it. And I knew we had come upstream, so I followed that stream. I stayed right in the stream all the way down. A guide. That stream was my guide that night. The Word of God is our guides today. We have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament. The Old Testament was supposed to guide the Jews to the Messiah. And the New Testament guides us back to the Messiah. He's still there. That is the whole central theme of the whole Bible, pointing to and from. All right? A guide to be blind ones. A light to the ones in darkness. Jews were supposed to be a light to the world. Jesus talked about it so much. He said, a city set on a hill is a light to everyone. They put cities on the hill so you could see for long. And when you were traveling at nighttime, you could look up there and you know how far you had to go. The Word of God from the Old Testament, we look back from the Old Testament to the Messiah coming, and we see that shining light up here. We see Him. And now we look backwards and we see Him again. He's the light. He's the light. And the Jews wouldn't have Him. They wouldn't have Him. And they still haven't accepted Him yet. They will smile and do everything they can in the world, and they will get you to support them and want to support them over there in the land, everything like that, but they still cut His throat. They shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and they won't see Him again until they said what? Blessed and holy is He that came in the name of the Lord. Having persuaded both yourself a guide to be of blind ones and a light in the darkness. They are in darkness. I remember Brother Madden. There's several sermons of him up there, by the way, if you want to listen. I think I've got... We have four sermons up here by him, don't we, Brother Randall? At least four sermons up lately. When I was over in the Middle East with him, we'd walk into these places like this, and he says, "Damnable people. My God. Leading each other to hell." And we'd go up to these mosques and everything, and he said, "I'm not going in one of them damnable places." Blind leaders of the blind. I remember he finally went into some of them later on. He couldn't stand blind leading the blind. But look at what's going on today. And look out in so-called Christian churches leading people to hell. You got your Jehovah's Witness. You got your Seventh-day Adventist. You got your Mormons. You got all these people out here all over the place. You know who God's going to judge above everybody else in them false religions? Charles Taze Russell's going to have a hot spot in hell, I'm telling you people. So is Ellen White. And so many of those others that started these false religions. Mary Baker Eddy, all of these people that led people astray. By the millions, and then every out there in the Christian, what we call Christendom, there's every flavor of that you can think of out there. And who do you think? The blind leading the blind. That's why I've tried to teach all my life, just go back to the Bible. The Bible takes care of itself. It defends itself. The Word of God from the original languages really takes care of itself. You want to study the Bible and you want to defend the Word of God, so-called, the Word of God really defends itself if you just learn it enough. It'll take care of it. It'll take care of it. 2 and verse 20. Did you read that one, Rebecca? Nope. 2 and verse 19 then.
"And if you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness."
All right. Now, they're convinced that they're a light to the world, don't they? They can tell everybody the greatest justice systems and everything else in the world. They're it. They want to lead out. Before they can lead out, they got to go back. That's all I can say. 220. Piedutain. Athronon. Didaskalon. Napion, Erconta, Tain, Morphusen, Tais, Nosios, Kai, Tais, Aletheos, Entonomo. Let's look at this one now. This word, Paidote, that word there means to spank up straight, believe it or not. To spank up straight. It comes the word from pice. This is little bitty babies. You know, pice is those little guys, and these are the ones that you have to correct with what we call corporal punishment. You know, spank them a little bit, slap their hands and whatever, keep them from killing themselves and everybody else in the house, you know. Turning the gas on and everything else. When Dakota was little, I had a wood-burning cook stove in the house all the time. She was little, and I'd hold her hand up there and say, "This is hot." Ah! She'd be afraid of it. I wanted her to be afraid. I didn't want her playing and falling into it or something, because that was a scary thing. I have seen people that were burned really bad. You spank them up straight. That word's an instructor. It's an instructor to keep you from hurting yourself. Instructor of morons. Brainless people. Of foolish ones. Genitive plural masculine. Athronon. No brain. No mind. That's what it means. No mind, no brain. Didaskalon. The didache was the teachings. We talked about that word. That's the teachings. The teacher. An instructor, one that spanks up brainless ones, ones that are very young. It shows them what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's dangerous and what isn't. A teacher of a napion, speechless babies. Now, there's a lot of words for children in the Bible. We had one here, the Pideons. That's the little children that are toddling, the toddlers, that are getting around and getting in a lot of trouble. The terrible twos, you know. You know what I'm talking about? You know about that? Have you got one right now? You have to teach him what won't hurt him, you know. Keep your hands out of the doors and stuff. Your fingers out of the fire.
You have to teach him gravity because they run off the end of the couch.
That's right. Whatever. Instructors. All right. Of little foolish ones, they don't have good common sense yet. A teacher of speechless babies. Now they're even getting smaller. These speechless babies are infants, so to speak. Those ones don't know how to talk yet. So you have to show them things physically. Okay? Speechless babies having the form. My throat has been sore for a week. I don't know why. Had to water it down. It wants to quit every now and then. Instructor of spanker upstraighters of little brainless wonders. Teachers of speechless babies having present participle active accusative singular masculine the form. This is where we get the word rough sketch. 2 Timothy 3:3-5. An outline. An outward form. Like you lay down on the ground, you go to a crime scene and they got a guy that got killed right there and they put a sketch around him. That's what it's talking about right there. Morphe. Morphuse. Of a form. An outward image. I wrote down here one time a spiritual dummy. Of the knowledge and of the truth in the law. Napion, and we have Pideon. There's Braphos, which is a very brand new born baby. And we have a Technon, which is a what? A Technon. What? That means a live birth, one that's born, that's a son, okay? And we have the word Pideon, and then we have wheels. Wheels, what is wheels? No, we've got Napion, we got Braphos, we got Technon, Pideon, and wheels. These are words for children. Wheels is the air. That's the first one. The air. Wheels is the air. That's the son, the air. By the way, the church is the heir of God's kingdom to come. Because she's going to be sitting on the throne with her husband in the eternal ages, judging angels, even. Isn't that exciting? 2:21 now. Let's get that one before we quit. So we went from 2:11 to 2:21. We did 10 verses. 10 verses tonight, maybe. Hoi, or hoi, ho, that is. Un, didaskon. Heteron. Theoton. Hu. Didaskes. Ho. Taruson. Me. Kleptane. Kleptes. All right. Rebecca, could you read 20 and 21 for me, please?
You are. Of the childish, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Well then, you who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you teach against stealing, do you steal, take what does not really belong to you?
What do you think about that?
Walk the walk, don't talk the walk.
That's right. Therefore, the one teaching habitually, a different, another, yourself not teaches. You teach a different person, but yourself you don't teach. You teach, but you don't live it. The one preaching, not to steal. We got a word kleptomaniac there. And kleptomaniac, that's people that like to steal. My wife's uncle was married to Bonnie Parker. Is that right, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said that when that woman walked into your house, she's going to steal something. She just loved to steal. I had an Uncle Bill Bad Bill, my old bad uncle. I mean, that man walk into your house, he's going to walk out with something. He was bad. Thieves, kleptomaniacs. Got to steal something while we're there.
In the name.
Yeah. You know, the worst thief in this world is one that tries to steal your who you are, your identity.
Yeah.
Another one, even worse than that, is somebody that tries to destroy your character. That's the worst thing crawling form of life in this world, will try to destroy your character. The worst form of crawling life. Now, Paul breaks off his long sentence, anakaluthion, that he began in verse 17 and starts over again with a phrase that gathers it all up in the small compass, teaches and drives it home, therefore, on the Jew yourself, he says. You have destroyed yourself. Your law has condemned you. Your law has condemned you. All the things come here. He said, now you are condemned. You say don't steal. You say don't lie. You say don't cheat. Thou shalt not kill, and you murdered. Not only did you kill, it wasn't an accident that you killed the Messiah. The Gentiles were forced into doing it. The Gentiles, the Japhethites were forced, and Pilate was forced to condemn Jesus. Five times he declared him innocent. The Jews, the Shemites, demanded his death. And guess who carried his cross? The Hamite. There you are. Well, we'll start in 2:22 next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And what are we supposed to have next week, Marilyn? Is anybody going to need child care next week? Is Rebecca, are you going to have any kids here that need child care next week?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because it said to let them know if you need child care because they'll provide it. All right. What is the date today? Is this the 8th?
Yes.
And it's almost, 2010 is almost over. Did you know that? You know the whole world is looking for the end to come. You know that? The whole world is looking for the end to come. They're looking at it in such a foolish way. I'm going to tell you what, when the end comes, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be taken up. Thank the Lord for that. I'm not going to be sitting here for 7 years trying to figure out how to eat and how to get by. All of them are looking, they're buying gold coins and silver. You know what that gold and silver is going to be? What is the book of Revelation? Gold and silver is going to be nothing but metal. Might as well be iron or brass. You can't buy anything with it. Nope. You won't be able to get a job without the mark of the beast. Nothing. I tell you what, you want to get in the end time, they're worried about California falling off in the ocean. Did you know that? Half of the world over there, in Montana and Utah and Wyoming, all that stuff, you ought to hear all the stuff going on.
They can have L.A. and San Francisco. I don't think they'll fall off. I don't care.
You know what? When all this stuff breaks loose, I don't know how much of the end time we're going to see. But when all of that takes place, that's during the tribulation period, people. God's going to thrash the lost world. He's going to thrash the Jews for what they've done. They didn't carry the light, people. They didn't carry the light. All right. You ready to go out and do something eternal this week? Brother Bill, would you lead us in prayer? Dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Lord, our Heavenly Father Jesus, we just thank you for another great opportunity to be in your house, Lord. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you for your word, for dying on the cross.